Wonderful. Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. It has been a while since we've been in the book of Exodus, but I want to get back there tonight. Exodus, Esther. Man, I'll get it out in a minute. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Anyway, Esther chapter number 3 is where we're going to be. I don't know what I said before. I didn't get to my house till 11 o'clock last night. That's my story, and I'm sticking with it. The Bible says in verse 15 of Esther chapter number 3, "The post went out, being hastened by the king's commandment, and the decree was given in Shushan the palace. The king and Haman sat down to drink, but the city of Shushan was perplexed." You ever miscommunicated something? Isn't that amazing? By the way, that was not intentional. The Lord just gave a sermon illustration, right? I didn't intentionally do that, but anyway. My next notes say, the more you talk, the more possibility of this. That's absolutely true. Have you ever misunderstood communication? See, that's really the problem. You guys just misunderstood what I said. I'm kidding. Have you ever used communication in the wrong way? Have you ever ignored communication? Where someone's made it clear something and you just ignored it, and then, oh boy. I never forget, years ago, I was youth pastor here, and I had a dad call me and basically say, "It sure would have been nice if you'd told us about the youth activity a little earlier." And I said, "Oh." I said, "Well, we printed that in the parents' newsletter. I don't read that." I said, "Okay, well, we sent out emails. My email's so stacked up, I don't get those." I said, "It's been in the bulletin the last couple of weeks. Who reads a bulletin? I'm not making this up. This is what they said." And I said, "We've also made announcements in church." He said, "Do you really think anybody listens to those? But it's my fault that he didn't know about the youth activity, right?" Wow. Anybody ever heard the name George Eliot? You probably will recognize the story more than the name. But he was a junior radar tech on Oahu in Hawaii on December 7th, 1941. He spotted the first wave of attack, but the senior man of the team ignored it. And the lieutenant on duty said it was just their own B-17 bombers flying in from California. I want you to get this. If they had listened, they would have had time to prepare for one of the most devastating blows that ever happened to our military. He first spotted the first wave attack at 7:02 a.m. Hawaii time. The first bombs didn't drop in Hawaii until 7:55 a.m. 53 precious minutes because someone decided to ignore communication. I want to look at, from the book of Esther tonight, the importance of communication. And I want us to see this central thought. Communication is one of the most important things you will ever do. You must get it right. The Word of God has a lot to say about communication. If I just simply tonight started at the beginning of the Bible and read every reference to word, tongue, lips, whatever, it would take us many, many, many hours to get through. It's critically important. But I want us to just look from the book of Esther and look at the importance of this communication and how it flows through the book. I doubt we'll get finished with this tonight, but we'll look at some of these truths. The first truth I want us to see from the book of Esther is this: communication has consequences. In chapter 1 and verse 10 it says, "And on the seventh day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded," that's communication, "and he gives these seven chamberlains that served in the presence of Ahasuerus the king to bring Vashti the queen before the king, with the crown royal to show the people and the princess her beauty, for she was fair to look on. That piece of communication had consequences. Because the king told the seven chamberlains, this is what I want you to do. They go and communicate it to Vashti. Vashti says, not on your life am I going out there. Well, then all the other people start getting an uproar. Well, wait a minute, king. If you let this go, then all the other women are going to hear about it, communication. And they're going to disdain us, and we can't have that. So let's just get rid of her, communication. And they do. And then they communicate again, don't they? Chapter 2. They sent out things, said, hey, all the young virgins gathered to the palace. This book is loaded with communication and the consequences of it. The whole story is built on communication. And what Vashti communicated to the king, I'm not coming. The king communicated a request, and that queen denied. And that set the course for the whole book. And we think about all the communication and how the story twists and turns based on the very communication. For instance, and we sometimes think of communication just as what we do with our lips. But just think about the aspect of the fact that someone wrote down that Mordecai had exposed the plot to kill the king, and somebody got those books out, and somebody read it to the king, and all of that took place, and how it hinged the whole story on a piece of communication. How many of you still get a old-fashioned paper delivered to your house? You actually get one delivered to your house? Okay, a few of you. We get one on Sundays, but it's only for the coupons. I read most of my news online because you can believe everything you read online. And about as much as you can read what's printed in a newspaper, right? But there's all kinds of different forms of communication today, but every form of communication has consequences. You ever had somebody walk up to you and say, you look tired? That means you're communicating, aren't you? Brother, are you carrying a burden? What does that mean? Well, you're communicating. Are you mad at me? You ever heard that statement? Oh, we were sitting outside Cracker Barrel on vacation, and this dad, and I assume it was a daughter, I'm not exactly sure of the relationship, but they walked past us, stopped right next to us, and he said, what is your problem? And she didn't answer, and he said, I don't know what it is, but your attitude's going to change. You understand me? And I'm thinking, I'm not sure I should be listening to this, but it's rather intriguing. I'm sitting right there. It's not like I asked to be a part of this conversation. Communication. And you know what? She said, I don't have an attitude. He said, well, that's not what you're telling everybody else. What was he saying? You may not think you have an attitude, but everybody else thinks you have an attitude. Communication has consequences. But the second form that we want to look at, or principle from this tonight, is communication can be informative. Matter of fact, you could make the argument communication is informative. The only reason I put the word can is because I've heard some communication that was really just a bunch of fluff, right? It really wasn't very informative. But it can be informative. In chapter 1, verse 19, and if it please the king, let there go a royal commandment from him, and let it be written among the laws of the Medes and Persians that it be not altered. This form of communication was written down. It told news of the queen. It told that it, what was important to the men. It told what was expected of the women. By the way, we end the book of Esther with a tiny chapter at the very end of the book in chapter 10 and verse 2. And it says this, and all the acts of his power and of his might and the declaration of the greatness of Mordecai, whereunto the king advanced him, are they not written in the book of the chronicles of the kings of the Medes and Persians? Communication. Communication. Not only does communication have consequences, but communication can be informative. Do you think that you'd want to know a bit of information that may save your life? We did a lot of driving over the last week or so, all the way to Chicago and back, ultimately. And we had a lot of communication. And sometimes the GPS would say, there's an accident at mile marker number da 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 da, right? Would you like an alternative route? Now we've got a choice, don't we? Stick with the route. I usually depended on how big the backup was, right? Between mile marker 412 and 415. Yeah, that's 3 miles. I think I'll handle that one, you know, whatever. But that communication is informative, and it helps us to figure out. We had an interesting thing happen the night we were in Chicago. I stuck my head around a little bus station. It was kind of a covered thing, and a gentleman was taking up 3 spaces on the bench, which, you know, I thought maybe my dad could share one of those to have a seat while we were waiting on the bus. And I said, "Excuse me, sir, could my dad have a seat there?" And he cussed me out. I mean, up one side and down the other. I kind of got the idea that he didn't want me around there. Communication was informative. By the way, we got on the next bus going the opposite direction because I didn't want anything to do with the guy, right? Communication is that way. Number 3 principle. Communication needs to be in the language of the hearer. Chapter 1, verse 22. For he sent letters into all the king's province, into every province according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language, that every man should bear rule in his own house, and that it should be published according to the language of every people. That's pretty important, isn't it? Okay, I'm going to put some people on the spot here tonight. Who speaks a foreign language in here? Fairly decent. He can put together a sentence. Okay, is it Korean? Yes? All right. Would you stand and just give us a sentence? See, that's what you get for volunteering. That's okay. Just any kind of sentence in Korean. How many of you understood what she said? Say it again. Anybody? Okay, so let's assume that she just said, "I'm about to kill you all." Do you think you would want to know that? Well, of course, right? Now, to some people, that language makes perfect sense. It would be the tongue that they're most comfortable in. The king, when he published this document, wanted to make sure that it was in the language of the people. By the way, that's why Bible translation is so important. It needs to be in the language of the people. I'll never forget when Lisa and I were in Honduras. We were around the table of Mike and Haki Adams. And we were getting ready to eat, and Mike asked Haki, he said, "Honey, would you pray for the meal?" And I'll never forget what she said. She said, "In mother tongue?" She was Korean. She spoke in Korean. I didn't understand a word that she said. But she got to talking later, and she said, "When I really want to talk to my God, I talk in the language of my mother tongue. That's what I want to communicate to him in." Now, she happened to know Korean and English and Spanish, and she now knows Russian. But when she really wanted to talk to God, she wanted to talk in her mother tongue. Communication needs to be in the language of the hearer. Obviously, the most obvious of this, or the most common, is the actual language, such as the difference between French and English or whatever. But this goes even further than that. To what someone thinks you're saying, or the filter through which events flow. For instance, let's break this down for a minute, okay? Because I think this is really applicable to where we are today, okay? Now, as I look over this room, for the most part, everyone in this room has a pretty good background of church. But the more we get into post-Christian culture, meaning people don't have a foundation, they don't know what you're talking about. And when we use what I like to call Christianese, which is basically our language that we all understand, when a person walks in here who's basically unchurched, they don't know what we're talking about. And so if we're going to communicate the gospel to our neighbors or to our friends or to our coworkers, we can't communicate it on the level that we think on. We need to communicate it on a level that they're thinking on. Now, I'm not talking about we get down in the gutter and talk that way with them. That's not what I'm talking about. But what to a lost man, what does the term saved mean? Maybe not drowning. Yeah. Does he even understand that? If we say something like, if you want to be saved, in just a few moments, we're going to give an invitation and we'd like you to come forward and be saved. Now, for most of you in this room, you understand what that means. Does a lost person understand what that means? Not unless we've explained it to them. So even the message that we're communicating can't just be what we're thinking. Sometimes we need to try to think like they're thinking. Let's really meddle a little bit. Husband, wives ever have any of this problem? Like you're saying one thing and she's thinking another and vice versa, right? We've got our communication's important, isn't it? It would be pretty important that she knows what time you're actually coming home. My wife and I have had some of those before. I remember one time driving home, and I called her because she was going to have a meal on the table when I was coming back from an airport. I don't remember all the details, but she wanted to know how far I was from the house. And I said to her, I'm at mile marker 10. Well, everybody knows that we live at mile marker 0. I mean, we're right at exit 106, which is coming from North Carolina, that's 0. So if I'm on 85 and I'm at mile marker 10, how far am I from my house? I'm 10 miles, which is approximately how long? 10 minutes? But she didn't compute all that. So she says, so how far are you from the house? And so I'm frustrated now. Now, why am I frustrated? Number one, because I'm proud. Ouch. I know I had to go there, right, Bob? It's, you know. Why couldn't I have just said I'm 10 miles from the house? Or even better, I'm 10 minutes from the house. I mean, that's really hard to misunderstand. Versus I'm at mile marker 10. Do you see the difference in that? I can see the ladies are really like this. But ladies, I could give examples where you don't communicate very well either, all right? I told you I'm going to go to meddling. So communication needs to be in the language of the hearer. If you're trying to communicate to them, it ought to be in their language. What are they thinking? The fourth truth. Communication must be delivered. Doesn't that make sense? I mean, it doesn't do us any good to have the information if we're not going to deliver the information. By the way, the junior radar tech wanted to deliver the information, but it didn't happen. Didn't happen. Pretty critical, isn't it? Let's look at a couple passages. Obviously, chapter 1 and verse 22, where he sent letters into the king's province. That's a pretty important one. Look at chapter 3 and verse 13. The Bible says, and the letters were sent by post into all the king's province. And it gives what the message was, to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, and so forth and so on. Verse 14, the copy of the writing for a commandment to be given in every province was published unto all people, that they should be ready against that day. And the post went out, being hastened by the king's commandment. Look at chapter 8 and verse 13. Chapter 8 and verse 13. The copy of the writing for a commandment to be given in every province was published unto all people, and that the Jews should be ready against that day to avenge themselves. So the post that rode upon mules and camels went out, being hastened and pressed on by the king's commandment. Pretty important stuff, isn't it? In other words, the communication needs to be delivered. Again, I'll keep using my wife and I. The other day, a couple of weeks ago, this was neither one of our faults. A couple of weeks ago, she was running a little late coming back from grocery shopping. That morning or that afternoon, midday time period, we were planning to cook some meat on the grill. She sent me a text message and said, I'm running a little late, but I'm leaving Walmart. Can you start the grill? Well, the problem was the text message arrived when she walked in the house. So as she walks in the house, she said, "Did you start the grill?" "Nope. Didn't start the grill." The communication wasn't delivered. Now, that wasn't her fault. That was Verizon's fault. Amen. But if you don't actually communicate, it doesn't do you any good. By the way, doesn't do your neighbors any good if you have the good news and you don't communicate it to them. Doesn't do them any good. The fifth truth that we can see from this story, look at chapter 2 and verse 1. The Bible says, after these things, when the wrath of King Ahasuerus was appeased, he remembered. He remembered all that happened. So the fifth truth is communication done in anger can bring consequences and regret. This king communicated, but he communicated in anger. And we've demonstrated in the past what kind of leadership he had, that he didn't take the time to think through and he listened to anybody's counsel. And so what he did in haste, in anger, all of a sudden it's like, oh, what did I do? And now Vashti's done. We've mentioned this before. We don't know if she was just set aside as queen. Some Bible scholars believe she was killed. Either way, their relationship's done. And all because he reacted in anger. I can promise you tonight that we could probably go around this room and at least 90% of you could recall a conversation that someone hurt you in anger. Those things cut deep. And you're not likely to forget them. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 8, the words of a talebearer are as wounds. They go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Romans chapter 3 and verse 13 says, their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips. Pretty strong terminology. Communication done in anger can mean consequences and regret. The sixth truth that we can see from this passage of Scripture is communication can be life-saving. Communication can be life-saving. We pick this up in chapter 2, verse 21, where it says, and in those days, while Mordecai sat in the king's gate, two of the king's chamberlains, Bigtha and Teresh, of those which kept the door, were wroth and sought to lay hand on the king Ahasuerus. The thing was known to Mordecai, who told it unto Esther the queen, and Esther certified the king thereof in Mordecai's name. By the way, they found out and killed him. Now, let's think through this. Because communication happened, first off, the king's life was spared. Secondly, Mordecai's life was spared. Thirdly, the Jews' life was spared. Because someone took the time to communicate. Are you getting the idea that communication is pretty important? Communication can be life-saving. This is one of the most striking verses in the Word of God to me on the subject of the tongue. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Think about that. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. In other words, with my tongue, I can kill someone. And with my tongue, I can bring life to someone. We have vivid examples of this today, and that you hear of kids repeatedly committing suicide And if they left a note, or if they left something on their social media or whatever, they say something along this lines, I cannot take the bullying and the unkind things that people are saying to me anymore, and so I'm just going to end it. Death's in the power of the tongue. Life's in the power of the tongue. You know, I can think of specific times that someone has said something to me that just breathed life into me. It was like, ugh, I needed that today. Don't minimize your communication. It's really important. This goes right along with what we've already said. Communication can be life-saving. But number seven, communication can be destructive. It can be destructive. We pick this up in chapter 3 and verse 3. Then the king's servants, which were in the king's gate, said unto Mordecai, why transgressest thou the king's commandment? Now it came to pass when they spake daily unto him, and he hearkened not unto them, that they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's matters would stand. Do you see all the communication here? For he had told them that he was a Jew. Like, what did that have to do with it? And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath. And he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had showed him the people of Mordecai. Therefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai. Communication can be destructive. Proverbs 26 and verse 20, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no tale-bearing, the strife ceaseth. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Communication can be destructive. It can be deadly. It can be life-saving. It can destroy people. An old illustration that I'm sure many of you have heard of the young man who had a sharp tongue, and he was constantly ripping on people and so forth, and his daddy gave him a can of nails and told him to go nail the nails in the barn door. And then he told him to pull all the nails out of the barn door. The nails were out, but the damage was done in the old barn door. And what we do with our tongue is incredibly, incredibly powerful. So let's ask just a couple of quick questions here as a way of application. What is the most important part of communication? Now, this is an opinion question, so it's not like, oh boy, this is right or wrong. But what's the most important part of communication? Yes, Brother Dale? Okay, what Jesus said. Would Jesus say it? Okay, that's a good question to ask about communication. Brother Kevin, that were you communicating by slowly doing that? Okay. Okay. Okay, good. So the spirit in which that communication is given. All right, good. Brother Jeremiah? Okay, good. Excellent. So communication, two-way word of understanding. Do you understand what the person's saying? Do they understand what you're saying? Are we connecting here? All right. Would communication be impacted by the person you're communicating to? Absolutely. Okay. And this is something that has helped me tremendously. But the fact is, I've learned different forms of communication since Dale has been a member of our church than I ever thought about before. Why? Because there's lots of stuff that Dale doesn't get in communication. Okay. So sometimes I have a habit of just walking by one of our men and just tapping them on the shoulder or patting them on the shoulder and then walking by. Well, that's fine for a majority of you because you look up, recognize, oh, that's pastor, and so forth and so on, but Dale can't do that. So he doesn't know who's touching him unless I say, Dale, this is pastor or whatever. So even, if you will, your subject, who you're communicating to, that makes a big difference, right? Someone else, important part of communication. Joan? Okay. Okay, so the timing of that, the circumstances behind it, those are all important avenues of communication. I remember this is such a poignant illustration that it'll be hard to ever forget it. But I remember when Mel Reed came home and was traveling to his churches, and those of you that have been around here a long time know that Brother Mel Reed lost his wife. They buried her on the field of South Africa. And when he came home, we were talking to him about how people communicate to him about grief and those kind of things. And he said, you know, sometimes I don't think people really get it. And he said to me, he said, probably the most difficult thing that he ever had happen to him was he had this family who said to him, Brother Mel, we understand exactly what you're going through because a couple of weeks ago we lost our dog. Now, I will admit to you, in case you haven't figured this out yet, I'm not much of an animal lover anyway, but you ought to figure out that a dog and a mate are not the same, okay? Nowhere near that. That's understanding where you're at. It's like, oh, wait a minute. Sometimes the best communication is not what we say. I think I've used this illustration with you before, but my first little Bible college that I was in, the man who taught me a lot, really, one of the things he said to me early on is he said, listen, as a young pastor, particularly in the area of grieving, the best thing you can do is just be there. You don't have to say a word. You just be there. And I had been at the church, my first staff position, I'd been there just a couple of weeks. Those first couple of weeks were rough. My very first night on the job, we had a teenager lose her grandfather, and the entire family except for the teenager was lost. I got to the house before they even removed the body. That's my first experience there. 7 days after I arrived on the job, we had a youth worker commit suicide. And then like 2 or 3 weeks after I arrived on the job, the pastor was gone. Because everything happens when the pastor leaves town, right, Pastor Rue? We had an older lady in our church whose daughter died. And those are all difficult things, but this older lady I hadn't even met yet. I was brand new on staff. And I knocked on the door and introduced myself, and I just said, whatever I can do to help you. And so the next day they were at the viewing, and this lady was probably, I'm probably 24, 23 or 24. She's probably 75 or 80. And I walk in, and I said to her, I said, I just wanted to come spend some time with you. I sat in a chair by her. The casket was down here. Family was flowing by. When I sat in the chair, she reached over and just held my hand. And people would come in, and she would get up and say, this is my pastor. Now, I didn't even really know her. We would sit back down. She would hold my hand again. That happened for almost an hour. I didn't say a word to her other than to greet her family members. When I got ready to go, actually, she said to me, she tapped my hand. She said, I know you need to go. And then she said, you will never know what this day meant to me. That has only been about 30 years ago, and I still remember it. The communication, critically important. We have 7 other truths that, Lord willing, we'll look at next week from the book of Esther about communication. Lord, thank you for your goodness. We love you, and I thank you for keeping the rain away tonight so we could enjoy the service. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, Lord bless you. See you on Sunday.